we've got a great guest speaker today, all the way from Gosnells, amen, just around the corner. And we love her to bits, and I know she's got the word of the Lord. Could you put your hands together for Far as she comes to share right now?
Thank you for that. Well, I am quite excited to tell you that Mom is back in Zimbabwe and she sent her greetings and she has joined the fuel queue, the food shortages and everything else. She just wants to come back. Well, today is quite an interesting day for me, because I am actually talking about something that I struggle with myself. And I think a lot of us do the same. I'm talking about, why me, Lord? But at the end of it, I want you to ask yourself, why not? A lot of us struggle with situations, circumstances happen. We feel like the rug has been swept off our feet. Everything is just crippling down. Everything is just breaking down. You fail your exams. Your marriage is breaking. You lose a loved one. And you just cannot help but cry out and say, why me, Lord? In 2011, I planned to go back to Zimbabwe. It was after 3 years in Australia. So I planned to go back home. And I asked for leave, because I had already bought the tickets, and my boss said no. She asked me to move my leave 2 weeks later, which I did. And then 2 days before I traveled, I got a text message. My dad had died. Well, before that one was a text that he was critically ill. He had had a car accident. And I really wanted to go there and be there for him. But in 30 minutes, he was gone. For a year, I was devastated. I cried every single night. Why, Lord? Why would you do this to me? You gave me the finances I needed to plan my trip. Why would you rob me of that opportunity to say goodbye to him? The more I asked that question, God revealed himself. And I can tell you I didn't like the answer, because I already knew what the answer was. Sometimes God does things we don't understand. But what he wants is for you to just submit to him. Then he can reveal that to you. And half the time you already know the reason why it's happening. We just need to focus today on our scripture, which is in James chapter 1. Verse 2 to 4, and it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, it's important for us at this particular point to realize that the enemy is real. You will have trouble. But you also need to realize that when you make declarations such as, he prepares a table before my enemies, the table is coming, but the enemy is there. We need to realize that. And the most important thing that James is saying here is, consider. The onus is on us to consider, to change our perspective when we look at our situation. And that's what I'm going to be talking to us today. There are three important things that I have highlighted, which is opportunity, let it grow, and complete. And that's what I'm going to emphasize my talk today. The one important thing that you need to realize when you are going through a difficult time is the favor of the Lord is upon you. And it's hard to realize that when you're crying. It's very hard to realize it when everything has been snatched away from you, when your children are sick, when you are sick. But hey, the favor of the Lord is upon you. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 1 of this beautiful girl called Mary. Mary was engaged, so she was planning a wedding. She was planning what shoe, what dress she's going to wear if it's today. And then the angel appeared to her. And it says she was disappointed. She was confused, it says. She was disturbed. But the angel says to her, "The favor of God is upon you." That's true. But my dream is gone. That's what she was thinking, I suppose. If that were me, I would be thinking, all my plans are gone. And I'm going to be pregnant. I have to explain to all these people what's going on. You can imagine even David walking beside her and having to explain to everybody that his girlfriend is all of a sudden pregnant with Joseph. Pregnant with a promise. You can imagine that. But the angel says the favor of God is upon you. Fleeing to Bethlehem. And of all things, God could have at least provided a hospital. Then she would have had a decent preparation for this baby. But no, she had to give birth in a stable. What else could go wrong? But God's favor was upon her. And I can tell you a story of so many other people. Moses, abandoned as a child. And then had to be adopted into Pharaoh's house. There's so many other people. David. And one thing I love about David's story. David's brother looked at a giant. And they saw something so big. He looked at the same giant and acknowledged its size, but saw something big enough he couldn't miss it. That's favor. That is what we consider as favor. When you look at your situation, you need to realize that the favor of God is the current that you need to move from your present situation to his destiny. Amen. You have been handpicked by God. You have been designed by God to endure what it is that you're going through. Number two, promotion. It says it's an opportunity for you to grow. Promotion. In my house, I have a chores chart that I keep for the kids. And so the two-year-old, well, she's still 18 months. She picks up after herself. She picks up her toys and those sort of things. I can direct her into things that I need her to do. Simple tasks, of course. The six-year-old also helps with the laundry, so he can load the washing machine. The 11-year-old, however, has to take out the laundry from the washing machine into the dryer. And then we can all fold the clothes together and everyone takes their laundry away. I do not expect my 18-month-old baby to do the laundry. I do not expect, however, my 6-year-old to do the ironing. But I expect my 11-year-old at least to start cooking something. He can make a sausage sizzle. He can iron. That's promotion. When you go through whatever it is, you are being promoted. The faith that you had before is being elevated. And what that means is you have to choose to let your fear submit to your faith in order to realize that you're being promoted in that situation. Amen. Isn't it funny when you look in retrospect at the things that you've been through, you look and you think, oh, was that even a problem? But that's after you've gone past it, isn't it? I wish sometimes we could have that glimpse into the future. And then we would be like, oh, okay, I'm struggling now. It's going to be okay. But that's what we're trying to encourage this morning. Change your perspective and see the promotion that's at hand. Yeah. It's like when you run a race. There is people who are generally sprinters. They love short distances, don't they? They want to run 100 meters in, say, 10 seconds. The difference with that person when you put them in a marathon, though, is they don't have that kind of endurance. So you got to decide what kind of faith you want. Do you want the sprinting marathon, the sprinting race, so that you have everything done for you quickly when you ask? Or would you rather have the endurance built up in you to sustain you for a marathon, to sustain you for the troubles that are coming? What would you rather have? I'll tell you, there's a story that's been trending of a guy called Walter Carr. Walter is a young student, 20 years old in Alabama. Walter had been applying for jobs, and he didn't get anything. He just needed a job to pay his bills like any other student. Eventually, he got one as a removalist, and this job was 20 miles away. So he, like everyone, started preparing himself for his next day. His first day at work. And then, lo and behold, his car would not work. So Walter decided he would take a nap. He woke up, the car still didn't work. He still had his faith. You know what Walter did? He walked 20 miles. He was not going to let that job go. He walked 20 miles. And it says the story is all about, he gets to the house eventually, 6 o'clock in the morning he gets there. The owner sees that he's so tired, he asks him to have a rest. Walter says, no, I'm here for the job, I'm going to start working. And so he did. And so this owner of the house decides, well, what can I do to thank this young man? Starts a GoFundMe page. With the hope of just raising $2,000 to buy him a car. And within hours, they had $90,000. Yes. And so Walter decides that's too much money. He then gives $25,000 to his former school as an education fund. And you know, in America, they're big on that. And so he gives that away. And you know, the funny thing about everybody who's retelling this story, they didn't realize the promotion there, except one comedian who says, this guy has been promoted by God. This guy has been promoted by God from a nobody to a person who now has a scholarship fund named after him, to a person who is staying in a one-roomed house and now has $70,000 left in his bank account. And his CEO gave him a brand new car to top it off. That's promotion there. But you know what? Out of his endurance, out of his obedience, I would have said, oh, well, I'll call in sick. But there you go. You miss your opportunity for promotion. Amen. Number three, purpose. Your situation is part of your assignment. And we're reading from Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's hard when you're going through a difficult time to see purpose in it. But the truth is, there is a purpose to what you're going through. So what do you do if your crisis or if your circumstance becomes your assignment? You need to realize that the purpose there for your assignment is to reveal to you the power of God to the magnitude of your adversary. God's power is shown to you by the size of your giant. If your giant is small, that's the amount of faith that you will see. That's the amount of power that you will see. The bigger your giant, you will realize that you cannot depend on yourself anymore. You cannot depend on medicine anymore. You cannot depend on science anymore. You need the power of God. So it is very important for us to know our purpose, or at least to seek understanding or direction in what God intends for each and every one of us while we are here on this earth. Because when we know our role in our family, in our workplaces, or in our church, or even in our community, we know why it is that we're going through whatever it is. When we read the story of Job, so many of us just go through the pain, and we see that Job is so committed to God. He does not fail God, and God does not fail him either. But what I love is the very last chapter of Job. The very end says, God says to his friends, to Eliphaz, one of Job's friends, "I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has." And I thought to myself, hang on. So whatever Job was going through was also ministering to his friends. But they chose a different response. How are you responding to my trials? How are you responding to Rochelle's trials? How are you responding to your friend's troubles? It's very important to also realize that your response to others is the same as your response to yourself and your trials as well. If you have to see purpose in what God is doing, you have to respond with faithfulness. Amen. Here's an important fact. The devil will never attack anyone who is not a threat to his kingdom. It's important to realize that when you're going through a difficult time, it's because you are a threat to the enemy. So in that case, you can proudly stand and say, "Why not? Bring it on. Bring it on. I am not going to bow down to you, Satan. Bring it on." Amen. Your children will be attacked because you're raising them in the kingdom of God. Because there's going to be that sustainability of the kingdom of God. Your marriage will be attacked because two are better than one. Two people will conquer. It says in Ecclesiastes, they stand back to back. So you've got one standing that way and the other one standing that way, so they can actually see the enemy. Whereas one person has, I'm actually struggling doing it myself. So that's the thing. You have to realize so you can stand and say, bring it on. Why not? It's up to us to stand and wail in our troubles or to change our perspective and see God in everything. You can see the enemy and he will remain there, but you got to see God. See favor. Amen. You got to see purpose in everything that you do. The other thing that comes to mind is also, when you're not in a crisis situation, have you ever realized the kind of prayers you make? God, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for my children. You're faithful. You're wonderful. Sometimes we don't even clap our hands. We don't even praise that much. But when you're in a crisis, it's a specific prayer. This mountain has got to move in the name of Jesus. And if it's an African praying, we will be casting out every demon. We will be, you know, we are so elaborate in everything that we say. That's the thing. Sometimes crisis comes for that purpose because God wants to connect with you. Because sometimes we forget. We realize that God, we know who God is. But do you know him as Jehovah Rapha? Because if you don't, sickness is around the corner until you know him by his name. So this is the thing. When you know who God is, you will know that he showed up for me as Jehovah Shalom, my peace, because you've experienced it. It's different from when somebody is telling you. So you need to realize that, not just for yourself, but even for others. Be able to identify God by His name as Savior, as Jehovah Shalom, as Jehovah Jireh, as whatever the names of God, all of them, you should experience them through either yourself or through the ministry of others. That's the only way that you can lift up your head from your trouble and say, why not? And I'm going to conclude with this. We seek answers because our hearts have been torn apart. Our minds cannot make sense of anything. We are so confused. Our faith, our hope, our joy, our peace is stolen from us by sickness and pain, by relationship struggles, by loss, family issues, failure. And we keep crying, why God? God is forever present and right beside you. And His will not carry you where His power cannot keep you. Whether it is God testing you or the enemy attacking you, the answer remains the same. You are the perfect candidate for that challenge. So let your perspective to your troubles change this morning, so that you see God's favor is upon you. It's an opportunity for you to grow in endurance and faith, because you're called for a purpose that requires you to be complete in Him. Amen.